The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Joining us right now, all packed up and ready to go, because for once there was organization and there was control and there was tempo in the household. You know why, Jason?
Why?
Because Dad was there. That's why. Came down from the mountain and regulated. Yeah.
Oh.
He was there. Saw him on TV. He and her kid get more FaceTime than she does these days, the other day.
Did that create chaos, you think?
I think he comes down and eliminates the chaos, because she's got 700 dogs and dog food and got to do this and pull weeds out in the porch. And she's refinishing some sort of antique, and she's got to do her taxes and all that. And Dad comes
down.
Oh, it's
tax time.
Because Dad's a ranch guy. Yeah. Like, he knows how to regulate and goes, hey, do the thing.
Yeah.
And she does the thing.
Okay.
Welcoming her in right now, as a matter of fact, the very organized Katie Christensen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Was any of that accurate?
Come on.
No.
Come on. Dad comes down and regulates.
He's down here. It's Easter break for the littles this week. And so, as you could probably imagine, that's pretty tough to be working and packing and leaving. And so, Dad's helping with the little, but sometimes I feel like it's just like having a second child.
Well, you say tomato. Last night, Katie, the Sacramento Kings did something I didn't expect them to do. Of course, that was before Kawhi Leonard said he was out, but I don't think Kawhi not playing should take anything away from this game. They still had Paul George. They still had James Harden. This still was a very tough matchup, and the Kings showed up, and quite frankly, Katie, for someone who often sees the sky falling a little bit, and I still kind of do in some aspects, but I was very proud of this team last night, Katie.
They were fantastic. I mean, honestly, I thought the bench came in and were like the difference makers in that game. And especially during that stretch where, you know, there was that run that they went on. I think a lot of it the first quarter was just, it was ugly. It was brutal. Neither team could hit a basket, and, you know, turning the ball over left and right, both sides. And then, you know, I thought the bench immediately came in and stabilized things. And that's when they were able to kind of turn the pages and go on a run.
Also, Jason, sorry, I do have to mention this because you said that. Can we stop with the whole talking about the Kings winning the game? I think they were up like 16 with 3:42 left. I might have that wrong. And you caught yourself because you were like, the game's not over yet, but the Kings win tonight is going to mean that did it. Man, I was so worried if for some reason there was a comeback, that announcer jinx was going to get hung around your neck. Just, you know, you got to watch out for that, Katie. What you say matters.
I'm so sorry. You never know what's going to happen in the NBA. 3-4 minutes is kind of a long time, and someone can go on a little mini run, and it can kind of, you know, make everyone tighten up, and you just got to be careful.
Yeah.
Katie, you talked about how great the bench was. I was so impressed by them really for two games now too. And it's something they have to do, but to actually do it is different. Like, we know Keegan has to be more aggressive. He's doing it. We know Davion can't just be a defender. He's doing it. Alex Len's impact. Trey Lyles comes right back and just really has elevated his game. I don't know if it's innately or they were told to, but look, I think those guys that were kind of just fit-in guys are now knowing they've got to do a lot more with Herter and Malik Monk, and they're getting it. How different is that to kind of adjust your role this late in the season, knowing that this team obviously needs all of these guys to be good?
Well, I think they clearly understand the assignment, right? I don't think, you know, they're all professionals. I don't think they need to be told. Obviously, there are conversations being had in terms of, hey, this is, you know, what we need from you. I've talked about it before over the last couple of weeks and really credited Mike Brown, because I feel like for some time now, really post All-Star break, he's gotten great production from from kind of the ancillary guys on the bench, right? The Davion Mitchell, Chris Duarte, like Kessler coming in and doing a great job as well. And these are guys that they went through long stretches of, you know, registering DNPs, you know, and not really being a part of the fold. And then Mike doesn't really make a decision like that and just say, hey, this is who we're riding with, and that's that, right? He'll always bring guys back in, give them another opportunity. And when he's done that, you know, kind of midway point of the season with Chris, with Davion, he's gotten great production out of them, and they've gotten a little bit of confidence. And then when you have an injury, guys aren't coming in and, you know, being completely cold, not having touched the floor, not having contributed. And I think that, you know, from a confidence standpoint and perspective, it really, really has saved them over this stretch where now you're starting to be just hammered with injuries. And I give him so much credit for that. And now Sasha's back, and he's, you know, getting the chance to kind of work himself back in, and Trey's stepped back, and like no time has passed. And I honestly think that the time that Trey was off was probably a good thing for him, because he was shooting the ball really poorly prior to his injury. And he'd had a stretch of games where, man, the three ball just was not falling for him. And that's a really big part of his role, right? To be able to come in and knock down those open threes, kind of be a stretch guy. And so I think that, you know, when you, from a mental standpoint, when you have that time off and you kind of forget, hey, I've been struggling shooting the ball, he stepped back in, he looks good, he's shooting the ball with confidence. And so honestly, you guys, I truly do credit the coaching staff and Mike Brown for the approach that they take with guys that kind of, you know, can be those deeper bench guys. And it's paying off right now.
Katie joining us. Katie, we have coined a new phrase here, term, I should say, an award, you know, much like the Wolody, much like our work on the Sabonis chant. We are now introducing the Velvet King. And what that is Malik in Arabic, not sure if you know this, means king. And red velvet is red velvet. So that's Malik Monk and Kevin Herter. So every night we're going to award, after a win, the award for whichever player stepped up to help fill the void of missing Kevin Herter and, of course, Malik Monk. So we're calling that.
You're calling it the Velvet King.
The Velvet King, half red. Well, Katie, the original thing I wrote down
here was a work in progress.
Was Malevin Hertunk, which is a combo of their names, but that just doesn't.
Velvet King
doesn't really flow, does
no.
it?
No. So Jason, who is great at trademarks and messaging, he came up with the Velvet King. I love that idea. So last night, who was your Velvet King? And feel free to use that on the TV, by the way. Katie's King's in the game.
Yeah. Who was my Velvet King? I would probably say in this instance, Davion.
Same as you.
Yeah, I mean, he was the one that immediately came in and started talking shots down and defensively. Like, how great is it when, you know, I think it was James Harden that tried to post him up mm-hmm. in, like, the center of the key, and he had him down there pretty deep in the paint. And, no one came to help, because it's a luxury with Davion. He might be, quote-unquote, undersized, but he is so strong and so physical and such a great defender, and kind of knows – how to, you know, take care of different situations from a defensive standpoint. And he had Davion practically under the basket, and not a single person came to help, which is awesome that you can have that, right? And they got the stop, you know, he forced the miss. And that way you don't have James Harden, who is a fantastic passer, being able to dump off to somebody right under the rim because someone had to come and help. So, yeah, I think Davion from a defensive standpoint, and then the fact that he came in and immediately started knocking down shots when the team just, it looked brutal for a while offensively, and it turned the table.
Yeah. Katie, amongst the many things, you know, speaking of Herter and Monk, obviously you're missing the stretching of the defense, the shooting that Kevin Herter can provide. Malik, I mean, I think of his playmaking first, but all those highlights. But to me, there's such an energy, a positive energy, to Malik Monk. That's a tough one to replace. How does this group kind of, I guess when you win, it's there, but how do they kind of do that when there's some days where Malik can just get them out of kind of a little struggle time?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question, Jason, because his energy, I think, is probably the most important thing that he offers. He's a great scorer. He's a great passer, like you said. But he has a certain energy and demeanor on the floor, which I think is contagious for this team. And, you know, he comes in and you can feel it. It's palpable. And so, you know, I think having him on the bench is great. You know, I think it still kind of has that impact, kind of like Mason Jones is one of those guys that he may not step on the floor, but I feel like he's always contributing on the sideline, which is important. And I mentioned it on air the other day, like, Mason kind of reminds me a little bit of kind of Frank Mason and the Liddy Committee and, you know, Harry Giles back in the day where they used to do the dance before the game started on the bench and all that, like creating that type of energy from the bench, it does flow onto the floor. And so even though Malik isn't playing right now, like he's out there, you know, chest bumping, you know, Keegan after his dunks and, you know, doing his dunk ratings, and he was, you know, giving Russell Westbrook the thumb down after he missed the dunk, and you know, it's still there. But yeah, I think that it's one of those things. It's like, wow, it's you're gonna have to be able to create that every game, and who is it gonna be? I don't think it's gonna be the same guy every time.
Katie Christensen joining us. Katie, can I ask you a couple quick coaching questions? Is that okay?
No, I don't do coaching questions.
Yeah, well, I think you'll do these ones. let's start with the G League. Lindsay Harding, you know her, Coach of the Year. I said this earlier when Jason and I were talking about it. I don't want to rain on the parade, but I've been told by many people that girls can't coach boys. I've been told that. I read it online. I read that they wouldn't respond, but last I checked, G League players are grown men. G League players are either, they're pros, but former, future NBA players. There's a gender difference between the coach and the players, yet she's the G League Coach of the Year. So tell me how that works out if I read on Twitter from John Smith 6969 that women can't coach the men's game.
Yeah, it's I think we're past that. I mean, the people that still believe that probably, you know, have had their heads buried in a book somewhere or under a rock. Who knows what's going on with that? But the great thing about Lindsay is I cannot tell you how impressive it is what she's done with that team this year, because she, in her first year head coaching, has dealt with something, you know, from an off the court standpoint that coaches at every level might never, ever deal with in their entire career. And it happened right out of the gate, you know, and, you know, that is a tough, tough thing to deal with. And they struggled kind of at the start. If memory serves correctly, they didn't do all that well at the G League showcase, but she has got those guys playing at such a high, high level. And her personal playing resume is wildly impressive. Like, she was such a fantastic player, both in college, but as a professional. And I think we're past the point, certainly within the you know, sidelines of a NBA basketball court. These guys respect WNBA players, and they respect the game that they play. And so when it comes from that standpoint, like when your coach can literally show you exactly what she wants you to do defensively and step out there on the floor, and she can D you up and she knows the lingo, she has the respect. Like, I think that carries you such a long way. It's not like someone walked off the, you know, you look back in the day, there's plenty of coaches that have coached in this game, whether, you know, college or, you know, professionally, that are men that have never played the game at a high level, but yet they have the respect of players and they listen to them. So, yeah, I think that, you know, the people that are kind of in the deep bowels of the internet can just continue with their conspiracy theories, and then everyone else can just, you know, congratulate her for really an amazing job.
Yeah, and kind of to follow up on that, Katie, from your days when you played, the WNBA was, you know, still a newer league. Now where it is compared to what like people like Lindsay are doing, you working in the NBA, Caitlin Clark and the Dave and I were just talking about the ratings, just setting massive rating numbers as a former high school, college and professional basketball player to see where the women's game is now. I just wonder how you feel about that compared to where it was when you were playing.
Okay. I'm going to kind of leave the part out where you called me old.
I never said that. Experienced.
No, back when the ball was square.
Mature.
It's a great point because the game has advanced so much since I played. You know, my last year in the WNBA was 2006. And that's nearly 20 years ago. And the players that have come through and the fact that this league is so competitive and has so many eyes on it and the players have just continued to grow and advance and the game is growing and advancing. And, you know, there's cities and there's, you know, people that want WNBA teams. Like, there's an expansion coming and there's people fighting for the opportunity to have a team in their city. And I think that is so awesome because when I came into the league, there was 16 teams in the league. And I think it went down to like 13 by the time that I was, you know, kind of retiring from the WNBA. And so to see that the game, which, you know, it was kind of like at that point, like, still the NBA is very much, you know, footing the bill and they're keeping this league alive and so on and so forth. And is it ever going to be able to sustain itself, make money, all of these things? I think that, you know, we're kind of past that point and it's growing. And then you have a great crop of college players that are coming in, like generational players that, you know, and I feel like every, you know, couple years, there's a player like Bram Stewart, like there's players that you're like, wow, like look what she's doing in college. And then Caitlin Clark comes along and it's just, there's so many talented young women that are kind of, you know, picking up that torch and carrying it and like climbing the mountain much higher than we did.
Katie Christensen joining us. All right, so to follow that up, then I'm going to ask you to do that which you love so much, which is make a decision. But this is just a hypothetical. Katie's not big on making decisions. Here's the deal.
Oh.
Caitlin Clark. She'd go pro. She stayed Iowa. All right. We were looking.
Didn't we talk about the Big Three thing last week?
No.
Are we going to do it again?
No, we're not, Katie.
Oh, okay. Just checking. I know your memory's not so great.
Your memory isn't. So 12.3 million viewers less for the Iowa LSU game. We talked about this earlier. That's more than any women's game ever, as Jason said. NBA Finals, World Series, all that stuff, right? The WNBA. And by the way, this isn't me crapping on the WNBA. This is just numbers. 728,000 viewers on average per game for the WNBA Finals, which was obviously the highest rated WNBA games last year. We're in this weird thing that I've never seen before where the college game, which let's be honest, if you put, I don't care who, you could probably put South Carolina and Iowa and UConn and pick an all-star team from those three, and the Aces would probably pace them by 30. That's just how it works in any sport. They're pros. They're grown. I think we can all agree on that. But
yeah,
for some reason, the college game is lapping right now the WNBA game when it comes to ratings and revenue. So my question is this. Obviously, Caitlin is going to come in and provide a spark to the WNBA, but they've already got star. She's going to be a smaller fish in a big pond. I think she'll still be a big fish. If you're Caitlin Clark, especially with the NIL deals and where she's at and people are so invested in Iowa and her and the college game, do you stay for your senior year rather than go to a team in Indiana that has the number one pick for a reason and it's not because they're super good? Like, what would you do?
I would probably stay with the – I don't know what kind of money she's making, you know, NIL money. I know that probably more than what she would potentially make as a pro. But then again, it's so hard to determine because she obviously has all the facts. We're looking at it from, you know, a distance, and I don't know what she made NIL money. I don't – you know, she's definitely going to make money off of endorsements. Yeah. And it's going to be more in the WNBA than it is in, you know, it's going to continue. She's going to have the ability to make more money in the WNBA off of endorsements than the NIL. And so it's hard to say for that reason. Like, I don't know what the figures are, but I would just literally do the math. Like, hey, Nike's going to sign me for X amount of money. I've been making X amount of money. Do I stay another year or do I go? It would purely, to me, be based off of financials. Because when it comes to salary in the WNBA, yeah. But then you also have to look at it from the perspective of she's probably going to go overseas and immediately play after her first year in the WNBA. So it's going to go NCAA, WNBA, immediately into overseas, and there's going to be overlap. There's not going to be time off in between. She's also going to make a ton of money overseas. I mean, we're talking about the top players in the W that will go over and make, you know, five times what they're making in the WNBA overseas. So for that reason, you know, if she comes out, it's not a basketball thing. I think it's a business decision, right?
Yeah. And she literally, you're right, I forgot about that, Katie, because the draft is, I think it's just in a few weeks. Right. The championship could be this weekend. And then the season's in May. Like, she has no downtime at all, at least in the men's side. Championship ends, or whenever the season ends for a college side. Draft is in June. You know, you got the summer, and then the NBA regular season is in October. She's going to go, she'll have zero break.
No, I mean, there's zero. You immediately go into it. She'll immediately go to the combine. I don't know if she's, I don't know the facts, but I think it would be insanity if she participated in the combine. Yeah. Like, I was a player that needed the combine to even have eyes on me and hopefully get drafted. Like, and it, by the way, like, it took my college coaches doing a ton of, you know, talking and networking with people to even get me an invite to the combine. Like, if I hadn't gone, I would never have you know, been drafted.
How'd you do? I'm just curious. Like, how did you do in that type of thing?
I did well. Yes, I did well.
What was your 40 time?
Yeah, Dave.
It's faster than mine. I'm just asking if you remember.
We don't run 40s in basketball.
Really?
No.
What did you press? They have a bench press?
No, we don't do weightlifting competition. This is not, it's not the same. Okay. You literally go, you play games at skills competitions. It's just an opportunity for all the coaches to be in one place, and they get to work with you. Like, they get to work with you. They get to see how you respond to coaching. They get to see attitude, mentality, like all these things that, you know, you don't, especially for players like me, that they didn't know me from Adam, right? So, you know, it's just it's not the same as the NBA. And I don't know, it's been years since I was there, but I have a feeling that they're probably not having a bench pressing, you know, place at the combine for the women.
Shuttle drills.
Because we all know how valuable that is. I mean, I remember Kevin Durant going to the combine and everyone would be like, he can only bench press, you know, X amount of weight. Like, he's so weak. It's not going to work. Well, we obviously see that was not the case.
Wait a minute. Right? What about the jumpy thing where you have to jump up and slap
vertical?
The vertical. Do they do that? The
yeah, we do vertical.
So you did participate in that?
In the jumpy thing.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, again, this was so long ago.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
I think I did do the jumpy
thing.
Are we
talking?
Medical.
Yeah.
You go through medical. You go through interviews. You go through all that.
So did they do a thing where, like, they put the white pages in front of you, you got over that, but then the yellow pages, like, how'd they do that? Were you able to, did you have yellow pages hops? What are we talking here?
Dave, I know that I'm old now. I
didn't
I
say that. Jason
that,
said that.
I know. I'm just carrying on the line we're going down here. Yeah. I actually was fairly athletic and could jump. I was an undersized center and power forward. Like,
I believe it.
I could jump.
I wasn't.
You know, I wasn't nothing. So
I didn't, who said that?
To,
who said
to
that?
Stumble into the WNBA.
You're a pro player. Who said that? I just wanted to see what kind of hops you had. You're putting words in my mouth. I'm going to get letters.
Good.
Last thing before we go. I said I had coaching questions. We'll finish with this. We talked about Lindsay Harding. Congratulations to her. News came out that Steve Clifford, just a couple years after he took the Charlotte job, is going to step down at the end of the year. He's going to angle for a front office role. Sounds like it's going to be a lot like the Alvin Gentry move with the Kings. And the first, there was a list of like four candidates. The first candidate mentioned was Jordy Fernandez. And I think, you know, Jason and I are in lockstep here, I think, with most Kings fans. Like, please don't go. Also, we completely understand it. At some point, you have to go. But just Jordy's meaning to this team, if you will.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, you know, the girl that maybe doesn't get asked to prom, but then she goes to prom and she's gorgeous and everyone's falling all over themselves. They're like, what did we do, right? Like, Jordy Fernandez to me is like one of those coaches that – people close to him know how fantastic he is. And obviously last year, the secret's out. Like, he has a ton of respect. Canada national team coach, and he interviewed for multiple jobs. Like, I don't want to see Jordy go from a selfish standpoint.
Yep.
But, like, he is going to get a head coaching job. And it's one of those things where, you know, you're happy for him. You're happy for his young family, and his story and how he got into the NBA is just so fascinating. And it's so tied to Mike Brown. I mean, Mike Brown found him to work out his son, you know, when he was in Cleveland. And I don't know if a lot of the listeners know the story, but he brought him in one day because, you know, he was working out his son at the facility, and there was a player that came in that wanted to get a workout in, and they didn't have any coaches there at the time. So he said, "Hey, Jordy, can you work this guy out?" And he's down on the floor working out an NBA player, and I believe it was the owner that came in and was like, "Who's that guy?" Right? Uh-huh. And that's how he got into the league. It's just the most random story, but you never know how you're going to get your first opportunity. And you fast forward to now, and, you know, he's got tons of experience in the NBA aside from, you know, being on Mike Brown's staff. Now he's got the national team experience, and he's highly, highly respected. And I think that I would be shocked that if he didn't get an opportunity this year. We can cross our fingers from a selfish standpoint that he will still be on this staff. But, you know, you got to wish him the best because he is so, so deserving.
That is Kings TV analyst Katie Christensen on her way for the last road trip of the year. They fly out in just under a couple of hours. And Katie, I believe it's one of those front row, second row season ticket holder events at Madison Square Garden. I believe the Kings are flying a bunch of folks out, including our general manager. So if I know in the past you've had duties there, I don't know if you do or not, where it's a...
I don't know. I know that we're not calling the game. That's as far as I've gotten.
Gotcha. Well, so you just get to hang out at MSG?
I guess so. I mean, I haven't really gotten the details yet. When we were in Phoenix, I chose to go to Marley's and just watch the game from there. But
well, now you're in your old stomping grounds. Go to Brooklyn.
No, I think I'll probably hang out and go to the game.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to go to a game at Madison Square Garden?
All right, no Joe Rogan comments. That's an inside joke. We'll take a break. Katie, appreciate you. Love you. Talk to you soon. Have a safe flight.
Bye, guys.
Bye. We'll take a break. When we come back, Kings put together a great effort yesterday. Great effort yesterday to beat the Clippers. Davion Mitchell was a big part of that. He spoke with the G-Man afterwards. We'll talk about that next in your home of the Kings, Sacktown Sports.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Breaking news from the NFL.
Yes.
The National Football League. This has been brewing for a while.
Yeah, something's been going on with him.
Something's been going on with him. You know, if you see all the Instagrams and the snappy chats, the
Tiki-talkies,
the book face. Well, the Houston Texans are trading draft pick compensation. That's what we know so far. For star wide receiver Stephon Diggs of the Bills. As a matter of fact, the Texans will host the Bills next season. Mm-hmm. So now you got a Stephon Diggs revenge game. And then the Texans will also play the Cowboys in Dallas, which means it could be Diggs on Diggs prime with his brother Trayvon Diggs. Very, very... very interesting. So, why didn't the Niners get him? Because I think they're focused on getting Brandon Ayuk signed.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Also, by the way, behind the scenes stuff here, but you know what? We are advocates for the listener and the viewer as well. Chris, join us for a second here. I don't know if you know anything, and I'm putting you on the spot here about it, but I'm getting more and more people saying that, like, right in the middle of the show, they're getting ads on YouTube.
Yeah, that's not anything that we control. That's a YouTube thing.
Really? We can't control whether or not they run ads in the, like. So,
not a me thing. It's a you thing.
Yeah. I guess like in the middle of the Katie interview is like, well, I think the, and then all of a sudden it's like, try this thing.
Yeah, like it happens on every show, but apparently today it's more than normal.
And we don't have the ability to like shut it off.
That sounds like a Joe Girose.
Yeah,
question.
It does. I'll ask Joe today. Sorry, guys. And gal.
Hey, how about we tell our bosses that we would like less money?
Well, I mean, we're not getting paid off of that.
I know.
I'm not seeing any. Have you seen any money off of YouTube? Jason's doing the shifty eye.
I don't share my eggs, and I don't share money.
That's why Chris was mad you only brought 3 eggs yesterday, because you got the cash to bring in more off your YouTube winnings.
Jason. Thank you, everybody, for watching.
Well, I'm on the case, guys. We'll find out if the 85 cents
more
a day
commercials
we make. I don't mind if they run commercials. Just run commercials during the commercials.
Makes sense to me.
You know, run the commercials in the middle.
Quality programming.
I think when we were talking A's earlier, that's the first time I saw it. We're in the middle of like, and the A's aren't going to do this because, and oh hey, it's Sky Rizzy or whatever the hell.
That's a great song though.
Sky Rizzy, JR.
Oh yes.
It's not a me thing. It's a you thing. J Ross with a slip. Wow, nice job, buddy. You're a comedian.
He's not even wearing a dress.
He's very...
As far as you know.
Good point.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
You know it. Hey-o! We all know Katie can't jump over a friggin' credit card. Who's she lying to?
Jeez. Throwing shots at Katie.
The jumpy thing.
Yeah. The jumpy thing.
Yeah. She's going to New York just to party. Yes. Hey, God darn it. Darn it, DMC. You were dead on with the Giants. Wanting or not letting the A's do their thing. And then, you know, I hate to say is I think the other sports do the same thing. Niners kick the Raiders out of town. Yeah. The Earthquakes do a lot to make sure the Republic stay USL champion and not move up to MLS. But anyway, that whole segment was very good. You did a very good. It's like you're a professional or something.
No, not really. And I'm probably in trouble for it. But hey, you know what?
You
want to get me excited? Put a big giant ownership group together and bring the A's. And here's where you get me on board with the A's. Just tell John Fisher we'll buy the A's and the Earthquakes from you. You don't care about the Earthquakes. And then boom, all problems solved. Baseball, basketball, and MLS.
Boom.
I got a cash call right now. I'll get on that call right now. We'll start talking.
Thank you, JR.
JR's got a few bucks.
Got a few. He's got $11. He's got a couple. You what? It's $11 than we had before.
True. And my YouTube revenue.
Your YouTube revenue, exactly. We will have an egg sandwich sale here at the station to raise money.
Man, I had a second one today.
Did you?
Sorry, Chris.
Did you have a second one this morning?
I had one. I mean, not a second one, but from yesterday.
From yesterday. You used the egg.
I made it myself. I was proud of myself. I watched you make the three. Yes. And I did it. I'm a big boy now.
I'm so excited. And turned out fine. No issues.
Yeah, I put the ham in it. The Easter ham.
Did you put the ham in and then microwave it?
It was in the patty.
Cheese afterwards?
Yes. Okay, so melted in both cheeses. I did pepper jack and smoked cheddar.
Next step then.
And tomato and that garlic aioli a little less than yesterday. And avocado.
Oh, my God. So that thing was like a foot tall.
Yes. I walked on it. I couldn't jump over it.
Are you and Katie, are you ever going to put the ham and the cheese in prior to microwaving?
Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow you're going to give it a shot? I'm so happy.
Why the cheese in there? I guess it's fine.
Well, if it melts, if you look.
It's going to melt anyway.
If it's going to melt anyways, then don't do it because it might be too melty and stick and then it's harder to clean. But if it doesn't melt, if it's just like halfway melted, then you can do that.
I mean, you didn't oversell. It doesn't even remotely stick.
Nope.
I mean, I just did that.
Yeah, that's it. It's a... Now, if you don't do the, you're going to have to dig it a little bit.
Think so?
Well,
probably.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I've never.
Not done it?
That's the forbidden land. I've never gone there.
I live on the edge. I might try that tomorrow.
I've never gone there before. Is this a call before we go to break? Is this somebody with a thing? Okay. Who is this? This is Garrett?
Yep. How's it going, guys?
Hi.
Hey, Garrett.
Hey, I'm a big A's fan, and I just think this whole thing is a joke. Mm-hmm. But. Speaking of jokes, I have something that I think you guys are going to laugh out of. Do yourselves a favor. Look up the pitching coach for the Oakland A's, Scott Emerson.
Yeah.
Carmichael Dave, he is your clone.
Oh, I've seen that. That's a good call.
You know, I'm going to look at this right now.
Chris is laughing in there.
I'm looking at this right now. Hold on. That is not what I look like. That is not what
I
do
Garrett.
Not look like him. And I, oh, God, I really don't look like him. Ugh. Do I look like that? He's even got a little ginge in his beard. Ay.
Where's your other doppelganger, the one you were told Monty not to draft, the guy from Gonzaga?
Drew Timmy. Yeah, where the hell is he, by the way?
G League star, maybe?
Yeah, good thing. Yeah, we haven't had a Drew Timmy. See, look at that. That's not me. That's actually more me than the other guy. I'm not going to lie. What is Drew Timmy up to?
I think Garrett might have been right. Look, AB916 is spot on.
AB916 is a hater.
Oh.
Timmy was not drafted. Timmy. And he joined the Bucks for the summer league, signed with them on the 2nd, was waived on the 18th. And now he's playing for the Wisconsin Herd. Oh, he had a left foot fracture in February and suffered a season ending.
So if we had an interview with you and Drew Timmy and A's pitching coach Scott Emerson, and we just all three of you were standing, and I think you're all tall. Obviously, Timmy's the tallest.
Yeah.
We wonder if people could identify who's the real Carmichael Dave.
Who's the real? Without
is there
audio,
someone else? Yeah. Have you heard of someone else that you've been?
There's this one goofy looking actor that Tom Maley always says I look like, but I
remember Tom, who it is.
Tom can't.
And it's Tom's like it's probably like Denzel. You're like, no, Tom, it's not. No,
he thinks I look like that guy. I don't know who that is.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's a comedian. He's in a lot
he's
of.
He's from Veep.
He's from Veep.
You don't.
I don't know what it, no, that's thank cool. you.
No.
Tom can't hear or see. All right, Helen
but
Bailey.
He smells great.
He smells wonderful. We'll take a break. When we come back, as we wind down the hour, who's hot, who's not, we'll go streaking. We'll recap yesterday's 3 of the key for the Kings and Clippers. And we're still going to get to Davion Mitchell postgame at some point, too. All right after this.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
Hey, Chris.
What's that?
Who's hot?
Evan Carter of the Texas Rangers.
Do tell.
In the first 5 games of the season, he has scored 5 runs for the Rangers. Also has an RBI for his name.
Also has an RBI what?
Also has an RBI for his name. I don't know why I said that.
Okay. Maybe I should be picking him and streaking.
Maybe.
Who's not?
Evan Carter of the Texas Rangers.
Why?
He is yet to get a hit this season. He is 0 of 15 in 5 games, but yes, he does have 5 runs for the
scored
Rangers.
Scored in every game. Okay. I was going to say that was an odd hot with just 5 runs scored in every game, or a run in every game. But no hits? Man.
0 for 15.
Woof. That means he's due. Right?
Imagine how many runs he could score if he did get a hit.
Exactly. It's the point of the game. Hit the ball. Hit the ball the right way.
Hit the ball the right way.
Yeah.
That win?
No, we didn't.
No, you were not.
Oh. Yeah.
I was not hot?
Yeah.
I am because of this stupid weather. Can we cool it down, please?
Oh, come on.
You loved yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
It was like 77.
That's too much.
I'm not saying it's too
much. It's the first time, so
yes,
it's warm.
Yes. That's exactly yeah. That's exactly
it's kind of
right.
Like the first time it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's going to be 30 degrees warmer than this in coming months.
Chris doesn't like it either.
77 you will take gladly in 2 months.
Well, of course, when it's 118.
Yes. No, yeah. For sure, 100. I would take 80.
Okay.
In 2 months. But, you know, let's just, can we do global cooling and have it be like, wow, it hasn't been 100 in a whole year. Like, why can't we do what do I have to do environmentally for global cooling?
No, I have a solution.
Huh.
They moved to San Diego.
I would be more of, I've told you, I'd be more of a Washington, Oregon coast guy. That's my weather. Little wind.
San Diego might surprise
overcast.
You.
Overcast.
Especially by the ocean.
But it gets
not that hot.
No, it doesn't, but there's like rarely an 85.
I think that would be the perfect mix for both of you. For you and Jason.
Like if Jason and I were roommates and we had to live somewhere.
Would Harrison come with us?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Although, I mean, I don't know. We'd have to ask Harrison. Is Harrison like a tropical guy? Is he a hot guy? I mean, he's a hot guy.
Yeah.
Is he a cool, is he a coast guy? Is Harrison a golfer? Mm. Bandon Dunes is up
yes.
there.
Yes. Oregon coast.
Uh-huh. Love you. You've been there. Heard that, by the way. There was a whole controversy online about how the greens were all jacked up.
A whole controversy.
Huge. Golf. Yeah. Mm. Like, big controversy. Like, they're like, I want my money back. This was supposed to be the mecca of golf on the West Coast. Is Bandon Dunes fraudulent?
No.
No, you've been there.
Is it weird when you hear, like, Oregon and Washington be, like, described as the West Coast?
It is.
Like, you're technically right. It is.
Right. But even I think they would say, they're like, we're not the West Coast. This is California. We're the Pacific Northwest. We're the PNW.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. All right. Let's go streaking right now, please. Let's streak. Let's go streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking.
From the 916, who's hot or what's hot?
Yes.
Yes. Jason Ross, how did we do yesterday?
Well, let's remind everybody, Dave, you finally got a hit, so you were at a one-game hitting streak.
I was.
I have gotten a hit in every game, so I'm at a three-game hitting streak.
You are.
Chris technically has hit in every game, but he had one game where they didn't play, so he's at two. So Dave's at one, I'm at three, Chris is at two. Yesterday, Dave, you selected Los Angeles Dodger. You're a longtime Dodger fan.
Huge, huge Dodger fan.
And ironically, you took them against the Giants.
My former team.
A team you don't like anymore.
Yeah. Still, some of their stuff is in the house, too. They haven't come to get it. It's been a bad breakup.
Could you tell that face-to-face to Will Clark?
No.
Okay.
No. No, I never would do that. I'm always going to be a Will Clark fan.
I know, but if you tell him, like,
I have a feeling Will and I might differ on some of my reasoning for being out of the Giants. Just a thought.
What if you could transport what you know now to back then? Will Clark guy?
Will Clark could play for the Genghis Khan. Who else is super evil? Not that guy, but someone that won't get me in trouble. And
the evil evils.
The evils.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you know what? I hate the team, but I love the player.
Okay.
Yeah. Will Clark.
You
always
took Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts.
2-for-5. And a home run, his fifth home run.
One of my Dodgers coming 2 for me.
So, Dave, you have a two-game hitting streak.
That's what I do. That's all I do. I hit dingers.
I was at 3, so trying to extend to 4.
Big Al looking good these days.
He is.
He's not big anymore.
He has resurfaced. He's just Al now.
Svelte Al.
God, I'm skinny Al. I have base hits.
I took Ozzie Albies of the Atlanta Braves. That team's a hitting machine, so is he.
Hitting machine.
He went 0-for-3.
No.
I was trying to go all 162.
No.
Silva.
I'm waiting for it. Waiting for the.
Chris knows I don't know where that's at.
Oh no!
Jay Marston.
I was looking
him.
All
he did.
Over for
oh
it.
No! Our streak is over. Is gone. We have to make a new one.
I'll find it. Maybe
it's over. It's over. Over
now.
It's over.
Boo,
it's
you stink.
Over. You're the worst.
The right. Streak is over.
Over. Kill yourself.
Wow.
What? That's what it said.
Too far.
Okay.
And Chris on a two-game hitting streak. Took us down a lane yesterday. Remember the lane? I'm going to see if I'm going to test your memory because we went on a journey and then you couldn't even remember if Chris picked.
I thought I couldn't remember who you picked.
You didn't remember if either of us went. But what was off of his name that he picked? It took us down a road. I'm going to give you some hints of a TV show that you watch that you said is pretty good. Your wife likes it. It was a pretty good show.
It was a pretty good show. She like, what's the show?
On TNT.
TNT a lot.
Oh, Castle.
Yes.
Ryan Mounts Castles.
Yes. Ryan Mounts Castles.
That's a good show.
He went 0-for-4.
That's
He went 0-for-4.
I'm sorry. It's over. It's over now. Move over. Boo, you're the worst.
Yeah.
Kill yourself.
The streak is over. All right, so Dave, you're the leader. You're at 2. Chris and I are starting over.
Hola. Oh, wow. Wait, hold on. The current leader in everyone who is currently on a streak, take one step forward.
That was sideways.
Not so fast, Chris and Jason.
Yes.
Losers.
Hey, good luck getting it to 3, though.
Oh, yeah? Well,
make
you
sure
know,
you pick someone that's playing.
I'm going to pick somebody that's going to take me in the right direction. And who can take you in a better direction more than Spencer Steer?
Are they playing? Just make sure.
The Cincinnati's? Let me see.
I'm writing them in.
The Red Stockings? Let's see. Reds. Nope. Yep, against the Phillies.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, against Zach Wheeler.
I'm going to take from the San Diego, the place where you, me, and Harrison are going to move to.
Yeah, the Whales thing.
Yeah. The Padres, Jake Cronenworth.
Totally awesome name for a superstar.
Good show, too.
Definitely.
Chris. Jason could like just start making up names. And
you
like,
guys would.
Oh, I've got like 15 in a row. Like, oh, yeah.
I should. I should see if you guys know it's a player.
I would have no idea. Yeah. Jake Cronenworth.
Yeah.
Of the Hampton Cronenworth.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm going to take the Texas Rangers. Evan Carter.
Yeah, Chris. Without a hit. That's bold. Good for you. Guy doesn't have a hit yet.
He doesn't, but until now.
Do they play?
Who's Texas?
Yeah, they're playing the Orioles.
Oh, okay. Against Ryan Mountcastle.
The Royals are playing the Orioles. The Rangers are playing the Rays.
Okay, Rangers Rays.
You didn't mean to, but you 100% went Chester on that on what you just said.
Chester Q.
Oh, the Orioles are playing the Rays. We'll take a break. Chester Q. Palmsdale. Ah, got it. That's an old callback. When we get back, the Kings defense, it's getting better. How better? We'll tell you right after this.